come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Count It All Joy, a teaching through the books of Philippians and James. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
It is so good to be back with you guys. It is so good to be in this room together with you. I'm excited to see every face. We have some new faces. I'm excited to see all the new faces that are here, and I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do. So one thing you found out about women's ministry, if you've been here more than 5 minutes, is we get excited about stuff, everything. Get excited about whatever you can. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. And so during the time of the summer, we had our retreat. Of course, a number of you know about our retreat. And it was eventful. And it was, whenever you come down from the mountain, whatever mountain you're on, whenever you come down from the mountain, there is always challenge. Are you with me? Yes, yes. And so when we came down the mountain, there was a bit of challenge. There were some people that had some challenges. But what did we learn at that retreat? It's God's way, it's God's will, it's God's time. He's God and I'm not. Those are the things that we hang on to, and we trust the Lord to keep doing that and to do great things. We're trying to build up our team for the evening. There's just no easy way to say the ladies of the evening or the evening ladies or you that come at night. I don't know. But we're trying to build up our team. Unfortunately, most of my team moved away. So we are trying to rebuild that team. And you probably heard the announcement earlier. If you are interested in being part of hospitality, which covers helping make coffee, make sure everything's out there for the ladies, and then cleaning up afterwards as part of hospitality, and then also the cleanup afterwards, and then we need greeters as well. So if someone would like to be there to hand books out, hand out things, get name tags on everybody and all that, we need people to do that. So if you don't mind, take one of our prayer cards that's by the prayer bearer and write your name on it, your contact information, however you would like to be contacted, and what it is you would like to help out with. And then put that in the prayer bear. And then you take another prayer card and you write down your prayer request and you put that in the prayer bear too. The thing about our prayer bear that from women's group is these don't go anywhere else except there are about 3 or 4 ladies that pray for these prayer requests. So if you have something you don't want anybody else to know about, that's as far as it goes. Unless you say on here, please put it on the prayer chain, then we'll put it on the prayer chain. Otherwise, it's confidential, just among us. We will never share that with anybody. So we want you to do that. And don't forget to pick up your scripture writing. And you got everything that you need. We've got all we need. We got Jesus. So we got all we need. A few things have happened in the last couple weeks. You guys are familiar with that. Mary Fournier, who was one of our ladies in the evening Bible study, went to be with the Lord this past week. And her funeral, her memorial service, is going to be this Thursday at 2 o'clock. That's time to visit. As I understand what they said, this is time to visit. And then the actual ceremony is going to be at 2:30 right here. So that's for Mary Fournier. And then we had Brandy Griffin. For those of you who remember Brandy, maybe you were in Brandy's group. She went to be with the Lord last week as well. And it was Mary Fournier was congestive heart failure. Brandy was, there was a rare form of cancer that moved very, very quickly. And so she's with the Lord right now, and we don't have any information on her services. And Rusty Fogle, the one who started really got our lunch and a prayer off the ground and really reached out to people of every place and every time. His services are going to be September 25th, 11 o'clock here. So those are families that need to be prayed for. For those of you who don't know, Rusty Fogle was Jeff Johnson from Downey. It was his brother-in-law, so his wife's brother. So if you can be praying for them. Yeah, so it's been an eventful time, and I hope that you voted today. I hope that you voted before today or today, and I hope that you took, I really pray that we take advantage of the privilege that we have to vote, the freedom that we have to vote, because we can no longer take our freedoms for, take advantage of our freedoms. We can't take it for granted. We cannot take our freedoms for granted. If we take our freedoms for granted, like in anything else, we will lose it. And so I hope that you did that. I was in line today with I stood in line for a whole 45 minutes. And I invited this person and that person and that person and that person to come on Wednesday night and come to the concert. And what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And we had a great time as we were standing in line. And so I was glad that I was there and took advantage of that time. Also, another person that was left us, but to be with the Lord, to be with the man of her dreams, was Kay Smith. And those of us, those people who say, oh, yeah, she's with the man of her dreams, she's with Chuck. No, no. Chuck was her second man of her dreams, and that was okay with him, just like it's okay with Bill that Jesus is my man of my dreams. And so she went to be with the Lord, and just an amazing, amazing woman. She taught me so very much. I learned so much from her about being a pastor's wife, about how to love my husband, love God, love my husband and my family, and love the people of the church, particularly the women of the church. And you guys know that I love you. I hope you know that I love you. I feel that she taught me in a way to let you know that you are important, and you're important to me, and you're important to God. She taught me something else that I've held close to my heart. Skip Heitzig spoke about it on the radio just recently, and I don't know about you. I've been thinking a lot about the coming of the Lord. Anybody else? Been thinking about the coming of the Lord. And I wonder, are we excited about the coming of the Lord because we just want to be taken out of here? Just because it's hard. It's so hard, God. Just take me out. Just take me home, Lord. Just not that anybody's going to do anything weird. Don't get in that. But we want to just get out of here because it's hard. Or are we looking for the coming of the Lord, or are we looking to the Lord who is coming? Are we looking to the Lord who is coming? Jesus Christ is coming again for his family, for those who love him, for those who have cherished him, for those who look to him, to those who choose him. Are you the bride that I want to get married, I want to get out of the house. The living at home is just too hard. My parents are too hard. I'll go with anybody to just get out of here. I want to get out of here. Or are you that bride that is longing to see that groom? You're longing to see his face. You're longing to have that time with him. And so you invest time with him now so that you know him even as you are known. And so I want to be that type of person, because Jesus said, I am coming for those who love my appearing. 2 Timothy 4:8. He is coming for those who love his appearing. And I love his appearing, and I can't wait for Jesus to come, but I so long to see him face to face, because he's so precious. He's so precious to me. So are you looking for Jesus to come? I remember that Kay Smith wore red and black. I just remember her in her red top and her black pants always. And she was always dressed appropriately. Well, this morning, as I was thinking about her, I went to put on my red shirt, and I had a bad closet morning. Because I don't know if it has to do with the summer heat. I don't know exactly what it is that has happened, but everything in my closet has shrunk. So, as I began to put on things, nope, not wearing that one. That one is, so inappropriate now. So, having that bad closet day, as I stood there and thought about what I should wear, I thought, God has already determined the best dressed soul. What is the best dressed soul wearing? You can't find this on online shopping. You can't get this kind of thing on Amazon. You don't have someone just waiting to take your order anywhere. This is something that God the Father is always there, ready and waiting to perfect that with the perfect fit for each of his children. The best dressed child of God is described in Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he's arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. I am being dressed with the garments of salvation, and he has put on the robes of righteousness upon me and upon you, if you have given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, then you are clothed appropriately. You don't have to worry about what your soul needs to wear, because you are clothed with that. I'm a child of the King, and I never have to stand and stare at my garments of for salvation and my robe of righteousness. But there are still even as I just read through this on my own, I still couldn't say wardrobe very quickly. So there are some wardrobe choices that I have that are really no-nos. I can say yes to them, but I will be in the wrong place. And those are found in Colossians 3, verse 5. Whatever belongs to my earthly nature. I don't want to wear anything that belongs to my earthly nature. Nothing that belongs to my earthly nature. And I'm so glad that God gives us more than the don'ts of our apparel, and we don't want to be left in our spiritual underwear. That sounds funny, but what I'm saying is, we don't want to be in a place where we're happy to just be saved. Yes, I'm going to heaven. We want to be in a place where we are growing, we are maturing, we are putting on the robes of righteousness, we are putting on that salvation, we are putting on the different garments that God has for us, and we're maturing in him. We want to be fully dressed. In Colossians 3:12, it tells us what we're to wear with our garments of salvation and our robe of righteousness. It says in Colossians 3:12, to clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. Wow, bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow. Okay, so I'm to put on all those things, and over all these virtues, put on love. put on love, which binds them all together perfectly in unity. So we are to be clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and overall, not talking about overalls. You know, the overalls, the bib overalls. No, not talking about those. Over all of that, the center of attention is the love that we have. I used to wear big necklaces, and people would come up to me, and they would always notice the necklace. They would always say something about the necklace first before they said anything about anything else that I was wearing. They were attracted to the necklace. Love is the necklace of our lives. It is that it is the accessory to all of our clothing. It's the thing that draws people to us. People will talk to me about my necklace before they will talk to me about anything else because they're drawn to the beauty of that. I should start wearing those more conversations. But allowing love to cover it all, to be over all of it, and allowing people to see that love that we have because Jesus first loved us. And love is our ultimate accessory. Our Father doesn't leave us all dressed up with no place to go. In Colossians 3:16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And so we are to sing to the Lord. We are to have that grace that sings to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I can't stress it enough. Write your scriptures. If you pick up that scripture writing paper, well, I'm not a person that writes down scriptures. I do it another way. I do it this way. I want to encourage you. On this particular one, Kathy has put this together, and it is the names of God. And so it helps us to know who he is. And some days it's just one verse, and you can just linger on that one verse and let that one verse just soak in, and that you would know the Lord better. Because I want to be known of him. I want to know him like he knows me. I want to know him intimately. I want a husband in him that I know intimately. And I can't do that if I don't know what his word says, if I don't know him. And so write those scriptures out. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we're all dressed up for work. Whatever our work is, we are to serve Jesus. We are to serve Jesus no matter what our work is. In verse 17 of Colossians 3, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Jesus that you are serving." It is the Lord Jesus that you are serving. My heart breaks when I hear people say, "I don't want to hire a Christian, because they have had experiences of Christians who think that everybody ought to be giving them grace and they can kind of do whatever they want to do and not finish the job and not do a good job and not do what God had told them to do or not do what they were hired to do, or they're so busy talking about the Lord that they're not doing their job. That's not honoring to God. We are to do everything that we do as if we were doing it to the Lord. And I know all you guys do that, so that's just a reminder for somebody else. So if you ever have a situation like that, you'll be able to tell them. What in the world does this have to do with Philippians? All of this garment stuff, all of this clothing stuff, what does it have to do with Philippians? Well, I would submit to you that Paul was clothed in the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He could have been in a place where he was just down and out because of his situation, but no, he had on the garment of praise. It was a part of who he was. It covered him, and he had that accessory of love on him. so that it went out to other people and other people were drawn to Christ because of him. He had already put on that garment of praise. Count it all joy. You know what? I want to talk to you about this, the picture that we have up there. You notice on the left side of that picture, it's all dead. On the right side, there's flowers and green. Actually, I took this picture so I can tell you all about that. There are 92 stairs. And what are those 92 stairs going up to? Going up. They're going up to the sky. They're going up to the blue. They're going up to that peace. They're going up. So we count it all joy, no matter what our situation is. Whether we're in the midst of all the deadness or all of the life and all of the joy and all of the excitement, but we're counting it all joy because of what Christ has done for us. We'll see in the... So Paul wrote this letter. So I'm supposed to give you the introduction. Okay, so Paul wrote this letter to while he was in prison at Rome. Rome is the capital city of where? What we now call Italy. Of course, you already know that. At that time, the king of Rome was Caesar. He was very powerful. He had a lot of countries that he was over. He was not so nice most of the time. Paul wrote this letter in AD 62, which was 30 years after Jesus died. How many of you here have walked with Jesus for 30 years or more? Raise your hands up really high, because I want everybody to see. You've walked with Jesus 30 years or more. If you have not walked with Jesus up to 30 years, you are babes in Christ. And all of these hands that have been held up are a testimony to what God has done. And you can do it too. You can walk because you see people who have done it before you. And you can walk on in that same way. And so at that time, Philippi was an important city in Macedonia, which is the north part of Greece. Paul first visited Philippi 12 years before he wrote this letter. He went there to teach the people about Jesus and get them dressed for service. What is it, getting dressed for service? What is the first thing that you're going to put on? You're going to put on salvation. He went to teach them about Christ, to bring them to Christ, that they would put on that gift of salvation, that dress of salvation. Some people were angry about the things that Paul was doing, so they put Paul in prison. Acts 16, 11 through 40, it's thought that Paul visited Philippi again after that, and he may have gone several times, but we don't have any record of it. Why don't we have any record of every time that he went, of every letter that he wrote? Because it was not pertinent to Christ. Because it was not pertinent to the story that is here in the Bible. So we have this letter that has to do with that. When Paul visited Philippi on his second missionary journey, he, I typed in, I think that my computer thinks that I don't spell well, because it wrote that on his second missionary journey, he lied to a number of people, but he didn't. He led a number of people to Christ, is what he did. And those people that he led to Christ formed the church there in Philippi. And one of those people was Lydia and her whole family. Can you just see Lydia forming the church? You know what? Can you just see how we women do that? Okay, we're going to put this here. Go ahead and build that there. Okay, coffee goes right there. Make sure that the coffee's in there. With the coffee, you're going to need this and that. But you're going to have to need some place for people to sit. And so she would be all organizing all of the stuff, right? Because that's what we women do. Okay, so there was Lydia and her family, the Philippine... Again, my computer corrected my spelling and didn't like Philippians, so it wrote Philippines. Yes, and so moving right along, the Philippian jailer and his family and the girl possessed by a demon, all of those are in Acts 16, 14 to 34. I love to blame things on my computer. The city of Philippi was a Roman colony, so it was like a miniature Rome. You know, like when we go as Americans, we go into another country and we set up ourselves there and we, what do? We Americanize. another country. That's what happened here. They Romanized another country. And so they looked just like Rome. They had just sunk right into the culture of Rome and all that was going on there at that time. And so it was strategically located on an important trade route between Europe and Asia. The city was named after Philip of Macedon, which was the father of Alexander the Great. Now, the fact that you know that, just in case someone stops you on the street and asks you, do you know what his father, who his father was, you will know that the son, he was the father of Alexander the Great. I think that was funny. I just thought maybe you would want to laugh on that, you know? It's just, no. Okay, so you know that he's Alexander the Great. There were two reasons for the writing of this letter. Number one was it was a thank you letter from a missionary. It was a thank you letter from a missionary. Paul was a missionary. It was a thank you letter to his supporting church. And it was also to confront conflict between two women. Aren't you glad we never, as women, have a conflict with each other? I'm so glad to know that we never look at somebody and go, I don't ever want to speak to them again as long as I live. No, I don't like them. We never have that, right? Because we are so righteous. We're clothed with our righteousness. Yeah, and then pride comes in and God goes, whack. So, but he wanted to settle that. He mentioned their name in chapter 4. The Philistine church. I just, let me entertain you. I could dance too. Philippian church was the first church established in Europe, so it spoke to the Gentiles. Why is there not more of the Old Testament in this letter? Because it was written to the Gentiles. If there was Old Testament in it, it would be written to the Jews, because the Old Testament meant something to the Jews, but it didn't mean anything to the Gentiles. And so it was easy to speak to them of Christ without all of the stuff that had been from before. So it was spoken to the Gentiles. Women had prominent places in the church. A woman was the first convert in Europe, and that was Lydia. Paul first attended a meeting that was attended by women, Acts 16, 12 through 15. Now, why is that different? Because in the Jewish area, they would not be attended by the women. The women would be separated out. So they were attended by women there in Philippi. Yes, in this place that starts with a P. The Church of Philippi was one of the most generous in financial support. We'll see that in chapter 4 when we get there, verses 10 through 16. And in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, let's go to 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, and let's just take a moment to read what Paul had to say about them. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, even beyond what they had, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering of the saints, to the saints. Even though they had very little, something very interesting, as Bill and I traveled around and Bill sang and we went to different places, the smaller the place was, the more they gave. The bigger the place is, the less they gave. And it just is, it's not that we ever went for what we could get, right? But always for, yeah. So anyways, they were willing to give. They gave, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive it. Where we say, No, I don't need that. Yes, you need to take it. For their sake, you need to take it. They implored them to do it. And verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to the will of God. And then to us by the will of God. They first gave themselves to the Lord. What was he there for? These are not hard questions. Why did he go to Philippi? To preach the gospel. He went there so that they would hear the gospel and they would be saved, so that they would come to the Lord first. And because they came to the Lord, because of their love for the Lord, it caused them to want to give. Freely you have received, freely give. So that's the way that it works, a thankful heart that goes along with that. The theme of joy punctuates this letter 17 times in some form. 17 times in some form. Philippians is full of Christ. There are 104 verses in this book, or in this letter, and 51 of them references the Lord Jesus by name. 51 out of the 104. Paul gives us a lot of information that is personal to him, personal about him. There's no reference to the Old Testament. There's an emphasis on the mind or the attitude in the letter. Somehow that word attitude, when it's said with an English accent, makes it more, you listen more? No? We found that wherever we went, when we had an accent, people would listen to us more. If you have an accent, do you find that people really pay attention when you're talking? How many of you in here have an accent? Okay, do you find that people look at you in the face when you're talking to them, and they listen very carefully to what you're saying, and then they make that kind of face like, I think I know what she just said? Yes. That word attitude, we found that when wherever we went to, that people listened to us because we had an accent, an American accent. But attitude, it changes us. Our attitude changes us. The emphasis on the mind or attitude in this letter in verses 1, 7, chapter 2, verse 2, 3, and 5, chapter 3, 15, and verses 15 and 17, chapter 4, 2, and 10. The theme is obviously joy. We boast in the Christ, not in the respect of people. If we are living for the respect of people, we are living the wrong way. Because people will always let us down, and if I am trying to make people like me, I am going to fail. There are people that don't like me. I know, hard to believe. There are people that don't like me. And there are people who have made it very clear that they don't like me. But you know what? I don't live for them. I live for Christ. And some of the people that have not liked me have not liked me after I shared Christ with them. But I am accepted, and you are accepted. You are accepted in the Beloved, so walk in his ways. The theme is obviously joy. That's where true joy comes from. Jesus, others, yourself. That's true joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. In chapter 1, we're going to see the example of Paul as living above conflict. In chapter 2, it gives us at least 4 examples of living above self, not living for yourself. In chapter 3, it gives us that purpose of the Christian life in Christ-centeredness, centering ourselves on Christ. In chapter 4, shows us that the power of the Christian life in Christ. Why did we put these two letters together? Why did we put James and Philippians together? People have asked me that. Why would you put those two together? They don't follow in succession. Why would you put them together? Because Philippians shows us joy, and James teaches us how to walk in that joy, no matter what our situation, to count it all joy, no matter if you have the dry side or the live side with all of the flowers, to be able to walk in that. It brings, and having that Jesus, others, yourself mentality, it brings true joy. And James shows us how to walk in that. I'm excited to delve into this study in Philippians and in James, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do, because God's going to do a work in us that we wouldn't believe even if somebody told us. I've read Philippians how many times? How many times have you read Philippians? More than once? More than twice? Probably. More than 10 times? Yeah. And every time the Lord points out something new, because the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is at work in us, causing us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And God is doing a great work in us, and He's going to continue to do that great work. So let's get dressed for work and make sure that we have that accessory of love in our lives. And Lord Jesus, I thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness to us, Lord. I thank You for Your presence. I thank You, Lord, for the things that people hear that I never say or I don't remember saying. Lord, that Your Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. No matter who's up here, Lord, it is Your Holy Spirit that is at work in us. As we come to hear from You, Lord, You speak to us, and I thank You for that, Lord God. I thank You for Your faithfulness to us, Lord. I thank You for Your anointing. I thank You, Father, that You have given us life. I thank You, Lord, that You laid down Your life that we might have eternal life. I thank You, Lord, that You have filled us with that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, that You have given us a peace that surpasses all understanding, that we keep our hearts and minds in You, Christ Jesus, that we don't have to fear, no matter what our situation, we don't have to fear anything, Lord, that we can walk in victory no matter what our situation, no matter what we think, no matter what else is going on. Lord, You are in complete control because it's Your will, Your way, and Your time, Lord. And You are God and we are not, and we are so thankful, Lord. Lord Jesus, would You just bless this time together in small groups, Lord, that You would fill it with a time of rejoicing, Lord, as people get to know each other, as the ladies get to pray for one another, as they get to get involved in each other's lives, Lord, as they build friendships, as they build relationships, Lord, and most of all, as they are drawn closer to You because of their study of the Word. We thank You, Lord, and we praise You. We pray, Father, for our nation. We pray, Father, that You would forgive us. We pray, Lord, that You would do a work in this nation, Lord, that You would draw many to You. We pray for our president because You told us to pray for him, Lord. We pray, Father, that he would find You, that he would know You intimately, that You would do a work in his life, Lord, that he's not beyond Your reach. And so, Father, we pray that You would save him, Lord. Not for our sake, but for his. Lord, that You would save him so that he doesn't go to hell. Lord, we want to be people who uphold others no matter what, because You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we thank You, Lord. Anoint us afresh with the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to walk in Your ways, to do Your will. Help us to keep our eyes firmly set on You no matter what is going on, Lord, not looking to the right or to the left, but keeping our eyes set like flint on You, the author and the finisher of our faith. You alone are faithful. You alone are good. And we thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, we worship You for all You are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Your name.
giving up.